right, happy new year. And welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable podcast. I'm your host, Jason Zwelling from Howard Hanna Real Estate Services. And I thought I would take this opportunity in early January of 2020 to talk to you about buying or selling real estate. I think that there are a lot of people out there in the marketplace that really don't know what to do and when to do it when it comes to buying or selling real estate. And I think that this year would be a great time to educate consumers on the highs and the lows of buying and selling real estate and some of the things that you may encounter along the way. So in the podcast, we'll talk about buying a home, selling a home. We'll talk about contracts, home inspections, radon tests, pre-qualifications versus pre-approvals. We'll talk about all the paperwork that you're going to encounter along the way. Real estate attorneys, contractors, touring, etc., etc. So hopefully that will help you for when you're ready to buy or sell real estate, you will make good decisions. Again, my name is Jason Zwelling with Howard Hanna Real Estate Services, and I welcome you to subscribe to the podcast. It's going to be a great ride in 2020. I'll talk to you soon. See ya. Hi again, and welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Zwelling from Howard Hanna Real Estate Services, and welcome to episode number 2. Well, today I thought I would talk about the needs portion of the buy side. After you've sat down with your mortgage consultant regarding your buying power and you kind of know where you are financially, now it's time to figure out where and what you're going to buy. And that's easier said than done sometimes, but sitting down with a realtor that's going to ask a lot of questions and explain to you how the process goes and give you a timeline is important. I think a lot of people don't realize how much time it takes to buy a home and certain deadlines and timelines in a real estate transaction are crucial if they're not met. After you've sat down with your realtor and basically have done a needs assessment where basically the realtor will ask what's important to you, where, what you're looking for, and basically get a good idea so they can set up a good search for you and then start to select homes to send to you or to show you. I always say to a lot of clients, it's not where we start, it's where we finish. I think when you look at a lot of homes online, you get an idea, well, this could work for me. I might like this. I might like that. And when you finally go and see a home, it's a lot different. And why I say, you know, it's not where we start, it's where we finish. It's because you think you might like a certain style of home until you've walked it. And then you realize that that doesn't work for you. I use, for example, Cape Cod's. And if you're a tall person and you say, hey, I don't mind a Cape Cod, I often take them up to the upstairs if it's a bedroom or an attic portion where of usable space. Usually in a Cape, the walls are slanted from about 4 feet up toward the peak of the roof. And if you're putting a bedroom in there and you're very tall, chances are you're going to hit your head on the ceiling. So a lot of times after I've taken a client up to the upstairs in a Cape and they skid their head off the top of the roof, they often change their search parameters and say, I don't know if the Cape will work for me. Now, that's not always saying that's the case, but again, it's not where we start, it's where we finish. So looking at homes online, looking at pictures versus going to them are two different things. And not to say that you have to look at 40 or 50 homes in the car, but again, to see each home and to see what style and what square footage is going to lend is important because again, it'll give you a better idea of what you're looking for. So once you start to select homes to view and you go to the homes, you know, what do? Realtor makes the appointment, meets you at the property, you go to the property, basically you tour through and you make some notes. Now this is where I tell clients, hey, listen, if you have a smartphone, which pretty much everybody does, use the notes portion and your camera. It's kind of like a guide. You know, put the address down, take a few pictures of the front of the house and important features, maybe write in the notes a couple things, maybe use your voice memo, just something that's going to say, hey, listen, I was at XYZ property and it had a great kitchen, but the basement was leaky, or the upstairs roof seems like it needs some work. This way, when you're reviewing after your tour, you kind of have an idea of what you looked at what time, and what was the pros and what was the cons. Now, your realtor should be taking notes as well. I know I do. But again, it's one of those things where you having good notes and be able to look at a property and remember, you know, what had what features is going to help you in the long run. I think that, you know, not that I'm a huge HDTV person, but an HDTV, they often nickname the homes. And I think they did that because they wanted you to remember the home. So if one of them was the, you know, Christmas tree house that had a lot of pine trees in the front yard, or if it's the, you know, yellow sunshine house that had the yellow shutters, something that's going to make you remember the home, I think is actually pretty good. But you want to be able to differentiate which home is which, and I think that's always a good sign. Taking pictures and taking notes is going to help you when you sit down later on and say, what did we look at? How did we like it? Why didn't we like it? Now, a realtor is going to ask you, for the most part, you know, why you didn't like something. And again, it's not because, you know, they're trying to direct you in a way that they think is better for you. It's just so that they can better their search. So a lot of times we'll go through a home and we'll match the criteria. When we sat down in their needs assessment, we sat down and they said that they wanted possibly a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, ranch home, about 1,000 square feet in a certain neighborhood, in a certain school district. So I go into the system and I find one, we do a tour, and as we get to the home and we search it and it looks pretty good, I ask them, what did you think of the home? Now this is a time where I want honest feedback. A lot of times a client will say, well, it's not really what I'm looking for. And I'll turn around and say, well, why? It's not because I'm angry that they don't like the home. I just need to better drill down the search parameter for them later on. And maybe I didn't hear something originally, or maybe they changed their mind. So again, having an open dialogue with your realtor is important, because again, it will help us define the search a little bit more. So again, if they go through the home and it checks off all the boxes from the original needs assessment, but when they get to the home, it doesn't match, well, obviously there's a reason for it, and you have to find out why. So the realtor has to do a good job of basically asking probing questions and kind of be a little bit of a detective to kind of figure out what the reason is. Again, there's a lot of factors why somebody might not like a home. It might have everything that you say it is, but it may not be presented in such a way that works for the client. So again, also understanding what you're looking for is important. I often talk to husbands and wives, or two friends if they're going to buy the house, that they need to sit down, you know, go to lunch, have a cup of coffee, and really explain to each other what's important to them. Because if they're not on the same page, your realtor probably won't be as well. And I've had it where a husband and wife have different needs and they've basically put themselves, they really didn't tell each other what they wanted. And I laugh because when I finally sit down and I say, what's important to you? If I ask them separately, we often get some really varying responses. So a lot of times I'll do something where I will grab a sheet of paper, I'll open up a folder and I'll put it between them and I'll say, let's take a quiz. You write down all the things that are important to you and rank them from 1 to 10. Okay, no copying, and go. So they sit down, they write what's important to them, and then I say, hand the sheets in, no looking, and then we review. What's funny is that when I sit down to review, it's eye-opening for the husband and wife to know that the basement was more important than the kitchen, or the bedroom, or the backyard. And again, it's an eye-opening experience where I can go back to the clients and say, well, again, what's important to you is not important to your wife, or vice versa. And this way, they're like, oh, I didn't know that. So then they start to get on a better page, and their communication lines are open where they can kind of compromise with one another and come up with a final determination of what they're looking for. Now, it seems like, you know, a lot of people will be angry about this, but you know what? Again, you don't know what you don't know. And when you're starting the process, it's emotional, there's a lot to take in, and sometimes, you know, you just forget to talk to one another. So that's always a really good first step, to kind of go with your partner and say, hey, we're buying a home, what do you want? And then once you guys have that dialogue, you can get with your realtor and drive down that search, and it's going to save you and your realtor a lot of time. Because again, it's not a process of selection, it's really a process of elimination. You're gonna go through a search parameter that may yield 20 to 30 homes, when we also know that 20 to 30 homes are not perfect for you. So the more defined search you have, the easier it will be down the road. So again, when we get into it and we find a home, our next episode we'll talk about what you do when you have selected a home. We'll talk about the paperwork, we'll talk about the process, we'll talk about the procedure. That's all the time I have for now. Thanks, have a great day. Hi again, and welcome to Hot Coffee Roundtable for Real Estate. I'm your host, Jason Zwelling from Howard Hanna Real Estate Services. And in episode number two, we talked about the needs assessment portion, figuring out what's important to you, who, what, where, when, and why. That's really one portion of the buyer presentation, sitting down and obviously asking what's important. But there's other pieces to the buyer presentation that are very important. When you sit down with a realtor, you want to make sure that that realtor goes over all the pieces of paperwork that you're going to encounter. Now, it may seem like a long process. I know when I sit down with clients, it's usually about an hour and a half to 2 hours. But I believe it's one of the largest financial purchases you're going to make, so a two-hour investment usually is time well spent. When you talk about the paperwork, you talk about agency forms that basically disclose who you are in the process. Are you the buyer's agent? Are you the seller's agent? Are you a dual agent? And that's important for you to know who's got your back. And that's really what New York State talks about when they have you fill out this disclosure. And all it is just telling you, hey, listen, for this process, on the buy side, I'm going to be the buyer's agent. And every time we enter into a different relationship, we'll write a new form. But there's other forms than that. There's a RESPA. It's the Real Estate Settlement and Protections Act. Basically, what that says is that if a company has other ancillary services owned by one owner, you have to disclose that. You got to let them know that, hey, we provide these services, but it is owned by the same company. And at Howard Hanna Real Estate Services, we do provide first priority mortgage. We have Howard Hanna Home Services. We also have Howard Hanna Home Insurance, Barrister's Title. So there are some things that we have in our toolkit that we provide. And again, all of these ancillary services are different, and they're run separately, even though they're owned by the same owner. But we like to let people know that. Another form that I think is important is something that I use, is an exclusive buyer agency agreement, or sometimes I call it the relationship agreement. Basically, when you work with a realtor, the realtor's got to know that, hey, you're going to just work with them, and they're just going to work with you. During this relationship process, for however long it is, normally I sign someone on for about 6 months. Usually doesn't take that long, but sometimes it can. I tell them, hey, listen, while we are looking for homes, I'm your realtor. And you're not going to call any other realtors. Basically, you're going to work through me. Now, the reason why I do this is because, again, I only get paid when you buy a home. And we get to the closing table, and then weeks afterwards, I get a commission check. But all the houses that I show you, all the time and effort that I put into it, if you don't buy a home, you don't pay me. So again, I also don't want you to work with me for 3-4 months, walk into an open house, and sign on with another agent and have to split a commission. Again, we all want to get paid for our work. Now that may, you know, bother some people, because a lot of people don't like to sign anything. But again, you're buying a home. It's not like you're buying a cell phone case or a cheeseburger. you're buying a home. So again, you're working with a licensed real estate professional that is working to have your best interest at hand. So they want to secure their interest as well. Now for me, an exclusive buyer agency agreement is a great thing, but I also tell clients, hey, listen, if you believe that I'm not doing my job or you believe that we're not a good fit, tell me. I don't want to work with anyone that doesn't want to work with me. So the exclusive buyer agency agreement, we can terminate that agreement and we can go our separate ways. I think that's important for people to know that they're not locked into a 6-month agreement that they can never get out of. But while we're working together, we're exclusive. So those are the three pieces that if you're going to sit down with a realtor, you want them to have: an agency agreement, a RESPA agreement, and an exclusive buyer agency agreement. It shows your loyalty to them, their loyalty to you, and it explains to you what part of the process. Now let's say, for instance, you've selected a home and you're like to your realtor, hey, I want to put an offer in. The realtor says, great, let's come back to our office, let's sit down, let's go over the paperwork that's going to be involved. So depending on what kind of home it is, you're going to write a standard contract. But before you do that, you're going to write another agency. Again, we talked about it before, that let's say, for instance, you are working with a Howard Hanna agent, say for instance myself, and you find a home that's also listed with a Howard Hanna real estate agent. What that creates is dual agency, because again, the broker is still Howard Hanna, but you have a buyer's agent and a seller's agent. So it would be dual agency with designation. So one side would protect the list side, one side would protect the buy side. Again, that's important for you to do because, again, it just tells you who's on what side. Now, after you've done that, you have a contract, and your realtor should obviously do his due diligence or her due diligence and look up the tax records and look up if it's in a flood zone and pull the property condition disclosure report and take a look and see the sales history, look at the pictures, read the narrative, and read everything that's involved in the listing before you sit down to write a contract. Because again, sometimes the devil's in the details and you look at a contract or you look at a listing and there might be something that's in the fine print and you always want your realtor to make sure. So again, if they have done that correctly, they've looked at all those disclosures, all the attachments, they've looked at the pictures before and after, see if the home has sold in the last 10 years prior to and have some prior data, and took a look at some comps and, you know, tried to match them up. So if a house is on the market for $100,000, you want your realtor to take a look at the comparables in the area to make sure that that home with similar dimensions, if it's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath ranch, other similar 3-bedroom, 1-bath ranches, if they were comparably priced and look similar. So again, you want to make sure. Those comparables will help you get a better pricing idea, and your realtor should be able to do that. Once they've done that and they decide that there's really nothing that they can see on the paperwork, you've toured the home and you liked what you had to see, now it's time to write the offer. So again, at this point, you should have a pre-qualification or pre-approval from a mortgage lender that obviously covers the price of the home that you're trying to purchase. Having a pre-approval is stronger than a pre-qualification and a little bit more teeth in the game. It just says that your mortgage institution will back you for a loan because they've looked at your paperwork and they verified it in person. So you write the contract, you have the pre-approval with you that has the dollar amount and it has the type of financing. Is it conventional? Is it FHA? Is it VA? Whatever it is, again, your realtor will take that information from the pre-qualification or pre-approval, put it to the contract, and start to fill in some of the pieces. Again, the contract is 13 pages. The first 8 pages are a fill-in-the-blank portion, and pages 9 through 13 is more legal definitions and legal explanations. And we always talk about it. We go through the whole contract from start to finish. We also tell people, hey, listen, this contract was created by lawyers and attorneys, so consult with your lawyer and attorney. With that being said, make sure that you have a real estate attorney. Now, I made the mistake prior to being in real estate of having a friend of mine say, hey, you should use my lawyer, who was a criminal lawyer. Now, not all attorneys are created equal. Now, I'm not saying his skill set wasn't good, but it wasn't geared toward real estate. A real estate attorney is going to understand timelines. It's going to understand
what a contract's all about and the steps in the process that will protect you and keep you in bounds. So I always tell people, if you have an attorney, make sure it's a real estate attorney. Your realtor should have a whole bunch of resources at their disposal to kind of give you some names in case you don't have one. So again, your real estate attorney is one of those type of people that you sit down and say, hey, look, I'm buying a home, you know, can you take a look and see everything that I've signed, if it's correct. And that's the attorney approval stage. Once your contract is filled out, and you've put in your price and your conditions, if the other side agrees to it and you have a signed contract, it goes from the contract stage into the attorney approval stage. Both sides, the listing side and the buy side, will send their contracts, fully signed, to their attorneys for attorney approval. Normally, the attorney approval is 3 days, 3 business days. And in those 3 business days, the attorneys will make sure that everything you filled in the blanks is correct and protected. Then they write an attorney approval letter that says, I hereby approve the contract as written. And if they don't, they could say, I don't approve of it. And the reason why is because sometimes you have to make some provisions, or sometimes there are some stipulations inside the attorney approval that will require you to make some changes. After attorney approval of those 3 days, usually you have a timeline, if you're going to do a home inspection, to have a 7-day home inspection. What that means is after the 3-day attorney approval process, you have 7 days to order a home inspection, do the home inspection, review the home inspection, negotiate the home inspection, and have it signed off. So a lot of people think they have 7 days just to schedule the appointment. That's not really true. It is the entire process of the home inspection. And the reason why they put a cap of 7 days or sometimes even 3 days is because they don't want to take the home off the market for any length of time if they don't need to. This way, again, if they go in, they do the home inspection and it doesn't feel the same or favorable results that they want, then the listing agent and the sellers can put the home back on the market and the days on market haven't increased by that much and they still have a good chance of selling the home. But again, that 7 days is where you go to the home inspection. So you schedule the home inspection, you talk to your home inspector, you meet the home inspector at the property, and your realtor should be there for the real estate home inspection. Because again, I know I go to every home inspection that I possibly can because I learn something in every home inspection because every home is a little bit different. And I like to be there with my clients. I explain stuff to them that maybe a home inspector may not articulate in the ways that he needs to. So again, it's something that's just keeping them safe. Now, when we do this, that home inspection usually goes from 2 to 4 hours. And then the home inspector will write up a report, whether it be digitally or in a book. And then once we get that report back, we will meet again, we will sit down, and we will review the home inspection for what we might want to ask for the sellers to correct. Now, some things might just be maintenance that the home inspector has told the potential buyer, hey, listen, when you do buy this home, these are things you need to look at down the road, or if there's something that is safety or structural that might need immediate attention. Now, home inspection is not a pass or fail, by no means. All it is basically alerting you to what the home has with good, bad, or indifferent. And again, it's a nice piece to, if you've never bought a home before, to talk with the home inspector and have them walk you through because there's a lot of great tips and tools that they can give you. Once you have that home inspection done, you sit down with your realtor and you fill out what's called a property inspection notice and addendum. Basically, it has a couple options that says we hereby waive the property inspection, saying basically we're in good shape. 2, we hereby cancel the contract and walk away. 3, hereby we found some unsatisfactory results we want fixed, or we were happy with the home inspection and we're going forward. And in that bottom portion, we write the kind of items that we want corrected. Now, this is where the negotiation process starts back up again. And that's between the buyer's agent and the seller's agent. Once, if you can, resolve the contingencies on the negotiation from both the realtor side and the list side, is when we sign off on it, goes back to the attorneys once again, and now you're going to an application stage if you're taking out a loan. This is where you're gonna sit down with your mortgage consultant and basically apply for a mortgage. And that's a process that usually takes around 45 days. In that 45-day process is when your mortgage consultant will basically take a look at the home. They will send out an appraiser to make sure that the home is worth the value of the loan that you're trying to take out. And they may call out some things in there, or just secure themselves. Because again, a bank's taking out a loan, they want to make sure that the home is worth it. So that's that process. They do a search and survey, and they do title examinations, and that's where your attorney will get involved with the banks and take care of that. Once they've gone through that process and they've figured out that the title is clean and there's no one looking for money, and again, the property has been staked and searched, the appraisal comes back good, you're in the home stretch. What you're getting a clear to close is what you'll hear from the bank once you have it. They'll say, hey, listen, you have commitment, we've checked everything, and we're really happy with what we've seen, and the home appraises for this value. And then basically your attorneys will go into a clear to close where they'll get ready to start to do the preliminary closings on this home. And that's usually about another 2 to 3 weeks. The whole process from the contract is usually between 60 and 65 days, sometimes longer, sometimes less. So when we write a contract, we put the closing date, I like to call it a baby due date, because if you're having a baby, naturally, hey, you might not have it on the day that you're due. So it could be before, it could be after. So again, that baby due date. So you have that cleared to close date, and once you get the hard close date is when you will get back with your realtor about 3 to 5 days before closing. You will walk the property to make sure that the property you put the contract on is the same contract, and then you will be on your way. Go to the closing table, sign 1 million sheets of paper, hand the keys, congratulations, you've just bought a home. Now that's the process, and obviously there's a lot of little pieces in between, but that's kind of the timeline from that piece, is talking to a mortgage professional and getting a pre-qualification, then pre-approval, then sitting back down with your realtor and doing a needs assessment and figuring out really what's important. And then the realtor explaining the pieces of paperwork that you're going to encounter, then setting up a search parameter, finding homes, creating a dialogue to go back and forth, going to search for homes, and then once you find a home that you like, putting a contract together. Now, throughout this process after that, your realtor will keep in contact with you every couple days and say, hey, listen, this is what's going on, or hey, I just wanted to call and let you know that everything is going as planned. No news is good news, and I will talk to you soon. You want your realtor to be in the know, and you want to also be in the know. The worst thing you can have happen for you is to assume something. Something's wrong, no one's not calling you. A good realtor should keep you informed at all stages of the game. Their job is to keep you safe, and their job is to answer as any questions that they have. Again, so that's the process. We'll talk about some home searches. We'll talk about some other things in the next episode. That's all the time I have for now. I'll talk to you soon.